I wanna get locked up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and get rock on my on the only podcast that I'll hear. Rip off my ears. Oh, the rock show, 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 the rock show. Oh, I want the rock show.
So today we're doing the Rock Show episode 176, and we're introducing DC5, also known as the Dave Clark 5.
Right. Dave Clark 5, yeah.
These guys are an interesting band, man. You know that?
Yeah, they are a very interesting band. I'm going to go into a lot of different facets of it. I think they're one of the out of the British Invasion bands. You know, everyone knows the Beatles, of course. Everyone knows the Stones, of course. The Who, yeah. The Kinks. Those are kind of like the big four. But I've had people, you know, come to me and say, "Hey, you know, Mike, when it comes to the British Invasion stuff, what, you know, other than the top four, what do you listen to?" Because there's so many bands that are kind of like just under that. And I always say, well, you got to start with the Dave Clark 5, because the Dave Clark 5 actually at one point were as big as the Beatles, okay, for a brief period of time. They also were on the Ed Sullivan Show a total of 18 times, which
that's a lot of time.
Yeah, which I think is the record for any appearance by anybody on that show, okay? What's his name? Ed Sullivan actually had an endearment with the Dave Clark 5. He really liked them and had them on all those times. Now, they had some number ones. They had some top tens. They sold millions of records.
Yeah.
The reason that they kind of get lost in the shuffle of the other bands is that Dave Clark has an iron grip on the rights to the music, okay, which in those days, in the 60s, was rare. Nobody had that. Very few people had control over their music. Yeah. He produced the band in the studio, and he was the leader of the band. And the band's named after him, obviously. He was the drummer, which is not too many acts in those days put the drummer in front. You know, Dave Clark 5 was totally different in doing this. He had amazing business sense. He was a good drummer too. Okay. He was an adequate drummer for what they were doing. And they were known for the, what became as the Tottenham sound, which I'll go into. But they're a band that I think everybody should take a second look at. If you just know one or two songs, maybe three songs, you should delve deep into their catalog, because they really were a great band. Mike Smith, the singer, was very talented. He was the keyboardist as well, and he was a classically trained piano player, as well as having a great voice that really kind of preceded these big vocals like Roger Daltrey had in the 60s. Mike Smith had a very strong, loud voice that, you know, rivaled, I think, Daltrey, even in some ways, though their music was a little different. But I just think that the Dave Clark 5 are one of these great acts, but they kind of slipped through because of issues regarding the rights to the music. And, you know, they kind of never evolved, okay? Like, the Beatles were always evolving and everybody following them, okay? Even the Stones, you know, after the Beatles made Sgt. Pepper, they did Satanic Majesty's Request. They made that psychedelic record. The Dave Clark Five really couldn't do that. They had a couple of songs that delved into psychedelia. They had a couple of songs that delved into soul music too. Okay. But they never evolved. And by the time they were done, the original band was done about 1970. They really were, you know, they had some hits right to the end, but they never changed their sound that much. And they kind of, the other bands just took off past them, and they were kind of stuck in that mode. But anyway, let's get into it. Now, the Dave Clark Five is known also as the DC Five. That was a nickname for them. And technically, they formed in 1958 in Tottenham, London.
Drummer Dave. They were like backup musicians, right? They were like backup guys.
Yeah. Dave Clark was the band leader, producer, co-songwriter. Okay. And in January of 64, they had their first UK top 10 single, Glad All Over, which is probably their most famous song, which knocked the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand, out of the number one spot. Okay. The song peaked at number six in the USA in April of 64. This was their only UK number one. Okay. They did top the charts in December 1965 in America with their cover of Bobby Day's Over and Over. Their other hits include Bits and Pieces, Can't You See That She's Mine, Catch Us If You Can, one of their best. Everybody Knows, The Red Balloon, which is, a like I mentioned, a little bit of a psychedelic song, Good Old Rock and Roll, and their versions of their version of Chet Power's Get Together, which became Everybody Get Together. Yep. The DC Five now were the second group from the British Invasion to appear on Ed Sullivan right after the Beatles did a couple weeks later. And like I said earlier, they did 18 total appearances on that show, which is a record.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah. Now, the band had its origins, like I said, in 58 as backing musicians for North London vocalist Stan Saxon. Okay. I think the backing band, they called themselves the Dave Clark Five, but it was under the title of Stan Saxon. Now, Dave Clark played drums and contributed some backing vocals alongside a frequently changing lineup at that point. In January of 62, the band decided to break away officially from Saxon and made their home in the Tottenham section of London. After a short time, a solid lineup was formed with Clark on drums, Rick Huxley, who was originally in a band in the band, okay, he was the original guitar player. He moved to play bass, okay, because they got a guy named Lenny Davidson on guitar. Dennis Payton was on saxophone, harmonica, and a second guitar when they needed it. And Mike Smith was on keyboards and lead vocals. Lenny Davidson was the guitarist previously for the Impalas and the Offbeats. Okay, they were two local successful bands at the time in the early 60s.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. But these guys were dressed pretty good. Like, they had that nice, like, when the Beatles came, they had that suits. What was it about them in suits? What was the thing? Why did British band do that? What was the deal?
I don't know. Okay. It was a look at the time. I think it was a carryover from the 50s where everybody dressed sharp, you know, the days of Sinatra and stuff like that, you know, kind of carried over into those early days of rock and roll. Plus, the idea was to look uniform. Okay. That was a little bit later, that picture, when they weren't wearing suits. But see, even this, like, if they want to look tough, they'd wear like black suits like that, but they'd all wear the same suits. All the bands did that. The Stones, the Beatles, even the Who.
Yeah, that was weird.
it just was to look uniform. Different times, you know. So the Dave Clark Five were promoted as the premier band of the Tottenham sound, which featured loud productions driven by Clark's heavy drumming, Payton's loud saxophone, and Smith's belting vocals. He had very strong vocals. Dave Clark was very business savvy and struck deals that allowed him to produce the band's recordings and keep control of the rights to them. Now, Clark was the main songwriter. However, credits often went to co-writing credits to co-writing credits went to Smith, sometimes Payton or Davidson. Clark was the band's main drummer, but on some tracks, it is believed that session drummer Bobby Graham played on some of the band's hits on the records. I'm going to go pretty far with this. I'm going to say it's confirmed, okay, that he did. Bobby Graham was like a session drummer that played for a lot of people. Shel Talmy, who produced The Who and The Kinks and many other bands, said that Graham was like the greatest session drummer that Britain ever created. Okay.
Wow.
He actually almost joined the Beatles after Pete Best left the band, the original drummer. But Ringo got the job. Okay. But he was up for that position. I'm going to mention something too. There's a little controversy here before we continue on with the story. When I'm talking about the songwriting, there's an allegation that there was a British musician named Ron Ryan that Dave Clark knew. And Ryan has gone on record saying that he wrote many, many of the songs, or co-wrote them with some of the other, like Mike Smith, some of the other people, that Dave Clark really didn't write anything, even though he's got a credit on every single song that they did. All right. Now, one thing about the Dave Clark Five that I think has kept them a little bit a mystery is that the band were all on salary. Okay. Clark got the money and paid Mike Smith and Davidson, the other guys. Okay. It wasn't a full share. It wasn't like an even split. Right. So I think that in some ways, Dave Clark viewed this as a way to make money. Okay. More than a band.
Yeah.
You know, and I say this with all due respect, because I think whoever wrote the songs, the music is fucking great. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's not like they're not a great band just because he didn't treat the band like a real band. You know, they're almost kind of like a boy band that we knew, you know, manufactured a little bit in the way even maybe the Monkees were a little bit like that. Okay. Because he had control over everything. He told them what to wear, what to do. You know, he was in charge of everything. Okay. So he had this like iron grip. Now, some say this Ryan guy has gone on record saying that he wrote these songs, and Dave Clark has never addressed it. He's never denied it, but he's never addressed it. And supposedly there might have been some business deals to keep this hush hush. Okay, especially, you know, back in the day when they were really having big hits. If that had come out, that would have hurt their career.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if it's true 100%. I think Mike Smith, in an interview, I saw something online, he was asked about it and said something like, I can't talk about that. So I think they had some kind of like no disclosure agreement about this.
They probably gave it some hush money.
Hush money. Yeah, it's a good word for it.
Yeah, write this. I want to say, all right, I'm taking the credit. You're going to get paid. You're going to get some money, reward, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, maybe that was the agreement and it worked. But Mike Smith, I know for a fact, by the time he died, he really didn't have a lot of money. All right. The other guys didn't either. All right. They never got a full share of the money. All right. Dave Clark got that. And these guys didn't do well afterwards and had hard lives. I'll go into how Mike died later. But there's also been stories that while the whole band was still alive in the 1990s, they were going to Dave Clark. There was a plan to do a box set and this way to get these guys some well-deserved money. Okay. Apparently he pulled the plug on it for some unknown reason. And, you know, some of these guys really needed the money. So it's kind of shitty. You know what I mean? What, you know, if that's all true. Anyway, now following the Beatles with movie success, the DC 5 released the movie Catch Us If You Can in 1965. It was directed by future star director John Borman of John Borman directed Point Blank, Deliverance. He directed Excalibur, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah. In the U.S., the movie was called Having a Wild Weekend. It had a different title. And also, there was a short film that it's actually available on YouTube now called Hits in Action. And it highlighted their several hits in a row. It's kind of like little videos, like, you know, before videos were made, little promotional videos strung together. And they're kind of cool. And, you know, it's just a little timepiece from that era to check out. Hits in Action. So by 1966 and 67, music was becoming more psychedelic, and the beat sounds of the DC5 seemed a bit dated. So they wrote some psychedelic tracks like Live in the Sky, Maze of Love, and The Red Balloon. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was clear that at that point, 66, 67, their popularity was waning a bit. And the Dave Clark Five would disband in 1970, having had three singles on the UK charts that year. And two of them were in the top 10. So even wow. though, you know, you can make an argument that popularity really wasn't waning, but in comparison to what was going on in music, they were being left in the dust. Okay. Davidson, Huxley, and Peyton left and were replaced by Alan Parker and Eric Ford on lead guitar and bass. And the band changed their name to Dave Clark and Friends. And this lineup lasted till about 1972. After that, there was no more. Okay. And between 1978 and 1993, none of their music was available to be purchased in any commercial format. Okay, so unless you had the old records, okay, old tapes, whatever, you weren't getting anything. There was no new releases. No, they weren't on compilations.
But why did he do that? Why wouldn't you want to make some? He couldn't make money for everybody like that by selling some of those songs.
I don't know. All right, Dave Clark is a strange cat. I don't know. He's a bit of a recluse these days. I think he's about 82 years old. Well, he might be a little older. He might be about 84. I think he was born in 1939. So he's about 84. He has, you know, all the rights to the licensing and everything of the music. Now, in 1993, a single CD called Glad All Over Again was released and produced by Dave Clark himself and released on EMI only in the UK. Now, after a 1989 deal with the Disney Channel to rebroadcast the 1960s UK show Ready, Steady, Go, which Clark owned, okay? He owned the old TV show Ready, Steady, Go. It was like a British-American bandstand type thing. In the 70s, I believe, he gained control of all the remaining recordings of Ready, Steady, Go. Now, wow. There aren't that many Ready, Steady, Go episodes, okay? So Dave Clark did a service to everybody trying to grab these and have a control of them so they weren't lost. What happened was, like so many old TV shows in the past, they used to tape over their own episodes over the masters. You'd have a recording for that week, and you'd use the same tape and record over it again for the next week and broadcast it, all right? And you lose the other show. No one thought of keeping these things.
Of keeping, yeah.
Yeah. So in 1989, he broke a deal with he bargained a deal with Disney, okay, the Disney Channel, who started broadcasting the show, whatever remaining episodes they had. And in 1993... a double CD called The History of the Dave Clark Five came out. I recommend this CD. I have it. It's a fantastic collection of pretty much anything. If you're not familiar with them, Anything that you need to hear is really on these two CDs. It's called History of the Dave Clark Five. Now, no Dave Clark Five material was then legally available again until 2008. You're talking another 15 years later.
It's crazy.
When the 28-track collection called Hits was released by Universal Music just in the UK. In 2009, sections of the band's catalog were released on iTunes. And in 2019, their almost entire catalog came on Spotify for the first time. So a recent greatest hits was also released on BMG in 2020. Okay, that's the most recent one. After the band's breakup in the early 70s, Clark set up a media company where he controlled the band's rights to their music, but also, like I said, obtained the rights to Ready, Steady, Go. And in 1986, he wrote and produced the 1986 musical, it was on the London stage in 1986, called Time, okay? And he directed it, he wrote it, it was entirely his project, and Sir Laurence Olivier was in it, and it was his very last show, his very last performances were with this. A two-record vinyl album was released with Julian Lennon singing the Dave Clark Five song Because, and also featured Freddie Mercury, Stevie Wonder, Cliff Richard, Ashford and Simpson, and there was also selected dialogue from the play on the record. It can be heard on iTunes now if you want to check it out. As a side note, Dave Clark had a long friendship with Freddie Mercury. He was very good friends with him, and he was actually at his bedside when Freddie died.
Damn.
Yeah. There's pictures of Dave Clark with Freddie when Freddie was very sick. I've seen them online. He passed away in 91, so it's a long time ago already. Now, Dave Clark Five singer Mike Smith teamed up with Mike Diabo, formerly of Manfred Mann, for an album in 1976. He also released a hard-to-find CD in the year 2000 entitled It's Only Rock and Roll and returned to performing live again in 2003. Now, I saw Mike Smith around this time. I'm trying to remember if it was a Cave Stomp show with a lot of other bands or something similar. I remember seeing him with a band of really like nobodies, okay, which is kind of sad considering who he was, okay. He went out touring again, in places. I had a talk with Greg Prevost about it, and he said he saw him up in Rochester, and he said that he was playing a little dump, and he said he felt so bad because he just like, this guy should be playing, bigger places and stuff like that.
Wow. So,
Kind of a sad story with him. Now,
yeah.
Now, sadly, the return to live performing would be short lived. Mike's son James, in June of 2003, died in a diving accident in the Red Sea.
Okay. Damn.
And in September, Mike himself sustained a severe spinal cord injury in a fall outside the gates of his home in his villa in Spain. He had locked himself out and tried to climb the 7-foot-high gate when he fell. And,
oh, man.
Yeah, and he cracked his spine in three places. He was paralyzed, okay, from the waist down. And also, I think he lost most use of his arms. Okay, very sad. He spent the next 4 years of his life in the hospital. And left actually on his 64th birthday on December 6th, 2007. Sadly, Mike would only live a few more weeks, really, because in February 28th of 2008, he had contracted pneumonia, which is very common for people that get paralyzed. And he passed from that. Yeah. And I heard he really didn't have a lot of money. He had his house. I'm sure that was worth quite a bit, but I don't think he had a lot of money for himself. Now, 11 days later, after his passing, the Dave Clark Five was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, deservedly so. Now, sadly, Dennis Payton had died from cancer in 2006, okay, since then, and Rick Huxley succumbed to emphysema later in 2013. In 2014, Dave Clark wrote, produced, and appeared in a television documentary called The Dave Clark Five and Beyond, Glad All Over. Now, I was looking for this documentary. I couldn't find it to watch it, okay? But I did some research on it, and it seems that, you know, some of these questions about his control of the music and how it affected the other members and the accusations of not really writing the songs never get answered in this supposedly, you know, thorough documentary. He produced it. He directed it. He did the whole thing with the documentary. So he's kept a lid on what's going on. Now, I have deep respect for Dave Clark. It was a great band, like I said earlier. Great music. They're up there. To me, they're up there with the rest of those British Invasion bands. But, you know, we'd like to know. I mean, if you didn't write the songs, at least give credit who did. It doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter now. It's been so many years, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if there was an agreement, no one's going to sue you, okay? So, you know, I don't know what the story is with that. I wish there would be, some kind of answer, but, you know, bit of a cloud of mystery over the band. But I just think they're one of the best. Everybody should check them out. Get that history of the Dave Clark Five collection, that CD. I think you had a picture of it, the one with Dave Clark's face in the middle. Keep going.
Hold on.
Yep, that's it. That's the cover of the album. It's a two CD set. The history of the Dave Clark Five. That's Dave in the middle right there.
Not bad at all, Mike.
Short and sweet episode today.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good that's very good. That Nina episode did pretty good. A lot of people like it online, like on the podcast. It did really good, the audio. So, you know, we got some German guy that commentated, right, or whatever.
There was two people that looked at the that wrote comments. One was like correcting me about something, which I appreciate that. The thing. I mean, if I'm saying something that you know is not right, please let me know. Yeah. All right. I can take criticism. I'm not perfect. I'm not an asshole about that. I'm an asshole about other things, but he corrected me. And I stood correct. I said, thank you. But then the other person was a little more rude. And it was a French person, French girl. And by the way, we're top 200 in France, aren't we?
I think.
So, hello, France. We love you. Okay. But this French girl, I looked up her profile. She's, you know, in education and all. Yeah. All right. I know what you are. Okay. And she basically said that we were two idiots that didn't know what the hell we were talking about and pronouncing everything wrong. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry to be the ugly American, okay? And maybe I don't have a great command of German, okay? I'm sorry I'm not, you know, Euro, and I'm not a European knowing like 15 languages, okay? I'm a New Yorker, I'm blue collar, I'm self-educated, but I don't know German that good. And I said it when I said it in the show. I said, I know I'm butchering the German language, and I'm sorry. All right, I'm saying it the best I can. Okay, all right. If this girl is watching, and I doubt it, but if she is watching, if you could do a better show on Nina Hagen, go ahead and do it, girl. Okay, I say that to anybody who watches our shows and says we suck. All right, if we suck, how come we're doing so well in the ratings in the countries you're from? Okay, and you know why. You know, why criticize me? All right. Or me and Rob. Okay. Just do it better. And I don't see too many podcasts about Nina Hagen out there. Okay. I haven't seen too many lately, you know, and I think she's a great talent, and I hope I did her a good service with that podcast. And, you know, it brings attention to her music. It's not like she's selling millions of records anymore. All right. And I wish she was. She deserves it. Okay. But again, you know, you can criticize us, but if you could do it better, go for it.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was awesome.
I'm off my soapbox with that. You know, it's funny you brought that up.
All right, Mike. So this is another fine episode. So where can people catch you at if they need to send you some line? And one way you can always do is, you know, the comments on YouTube. You could go on the comment page, and we mostly look at that all the time.
Yeah, I'm most active on Facebook, so you can find me as Rocko Mike. They won't let me be Rocker Mike. Rocko Mike. And then also the group page for this podcast called the Rock Show Podcast group page.
It does very well.
Join that. Yeah, we're doing very well, close to 2,000 members. I'm on Instagram as Rocker Mike 212, Rocker Mike 212. Twitter as Rocker Mike 212. Everything else, Getter, Truth Social, Cloud Hub, MeWe, Parler. I'm sure I'm forgetting one. Whatever it is, I'm just Rocker Mike. Find me there. Most active on Facebook, though, as Rocko Mike. So, Rob, where are you at these days?
You can find me anywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Pretty much we have our own website, GettingLumpedUp.com. You can go there. You can purchase shirts and everything else that you guys want. We got some merch that's on sale, too. And that's pretty much where people can find me. And we got another episode coming next in 2 weeks. We got the Oasis, right? We're going to talk about Oasis a little bit.
Yeah, I figured keep April about British bands. We just did the Dave Clark 5 today. In 2 weeks, we're going to do Oasis. That should be a thorough show. Should be quite a bit of time on that. And, I'm going to say this. I kind of forgot how good Oasis was. Reviewing them again, and I'm kind of like, wow, you know, like these guys for a minute were really onto something. But of course, they're one of these bands with a lot of infighting going on.
They got into a fight. I'll tell you about that in the episode. I saw them.
No, I mean it's legendary. I mean, yeah,
it was a shit show.
Yep. We'll go into that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so in that, people, remember, don't get drunk, get lumped up, and we'll see you soon.
Take care, people.
I wanna get lumped up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and Young Rock of Mine. On the only podcast that I'll hear, that won't make me wanna rip off my ear.